recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge game. Big swings. 1-0 Tampa after the first period. First time you had a lower scoring first period. Then it went evened up in the middle of the second. But again, they being the Tampa Bay Lightning, were able to get the lead back and go into that third period up 2-1. But they were not able to find the back of the net again. Colorado tied it a little bit, into that third period there, 2-2. We went to overtime, which at that moment not only secured the under for backers, but would have blown up you and I's tremendous odds boost. So FanDuel Sportsbook missed out on a potential winner for themselves of will anybody win by two or more goals. What a huge win, though, DRS. Colorado pulls it down 3-2 final score and a 3-1 series lead.
I mean, that would have been a nice odds boost, but a better one from DRS was, as I like to say, anybody to score a goal in that game last night, plus 100, that would have been a better effort. But having said this, if you look at the Lightning coming into this game, big time performance in game three, right? So it's okay, how can we extend ourselves and keep that momentum going into game number four? How about scoring within 30 seconds of dropping the puck here? And it looked like the party was on. Here come the Lightning. And if you bet that first period, Kevin, over 1.5, whoa. I got 19 and a half minutes to get one more goal. I got this in the bag, and nobody else scores there. But quite frankly, as the game played out, it's exactly what we thought. Two really good hockey teams battling, and they go to overtime. It is a shame that there was a little bit of controversy on the game scoring goal there by Nassim Kadri, where it looked like you might have had six players on the ice for a possible offsides, or at least a penalty, delay a game penalty, or too many men on the ice. But it ends up where you got a 3-2 win on the road by the Avalanche heading back home. And from what we saw before puck drop, Kevin, a minus 300 favorite on the Colorado Avalanche. We now sit minus 1250 on the Colorado Avalanche. And you get a, how about this? The Tampa Bay Lightning, they're not dead yet, but they're getting close. 9-1 price to win the Stanley Cup now.
That is obviously a big-time number. I just want to, you talk about always, right? They give it the stars of the game. And a guy who didn't actually check in as one of the top three stars, which, like, Don, is that what they do on big-time hockey debate shows? Do they debate who should have been the stars of the game?
Yeah,
ultimately. So
why can't we bet on
as
that?
Our radio audience is, all right, our radio audience is not in the mix just yet. I got to tell you, DRS, you would be having the time of your life if you were here right now with the setup that we're trying to figure out behind the scenes. But I'll tell you this, everybody is doing a great job, no doubt. But Donnie, here's the thing, right? Darcy Kuemper, who's in net for the Avs, 37 saves, ultimately Wright had to defend 39 shots, which he had a bigger ask on him, right, than Vasilevsky. But what's the difference? That was the first time that he had to make anywhere near those level of saves. That was the most shots put on him by 15 shots. Vasilevsky's routinely needing to make 35-plus saves a night. They're asking, I know this is going to sound silly to some, as now I believe the radio audience is with us here on this Thursday morning. Kevin Wallstein, right side of the early line. I just think they're consistently asking Vasilevsky too much. And partly that's Tampa's fault, but as I said at the beginning, it's because this Colorado team, such a wagon, and they're so fast out there, and they've really put Tampa up against it.
Yeah, Tampa really is up against it now, which you're now looking to saying, where's the parade route going around Denver? How are we going to get this done? Do we need extra security? The Stanley Cup is going to be in the building for the next game in Colorado. We'll see if those Tampa Bay Lightning can hold up. But if one team, I guess you could say, Kevin, can hold it off, is a championship caliber team like the Lightning. And also, when you take a look at the goalies, both of them, you probably ask them to a man. They like it. Now, the more saves, the better. It keeps you in the flow of the game. Like, if you're a goalie, would you rather have 11 saves you have to make, or just bored out of your mind, or maybe just getting, you know, greased out there and say, okay, I'm going to get 30 to 35 shots against me, and once I get into that groove, I'll be fine for the game. We'll see how it plays out as it moves forward, but now instead of seeing those minus 110s that we saw over the previous games, 3 and 4 for the Lightning, now you have that heavy favorite here for the Avalanche as well going forward. So if we take a look, you know, moving forward in this overall, minus 1250, as we just talked about here for the Colorado Avalanche, it's crazy stuff when you think about it, though, because you do have 5, 6, and 7 in those games. You do have to win those or else you're going home for the Tampa Bay Lightning. But is there something deep down inside where you take a look at this series and say, now, hold on. We've seen Tampa Bay with their backs up against the wall, down 0-2 in the series fight back. And quite frankly, they didn't get blown off the ice in Game 3. They blew the Avalanche off the ice in Game 3. How about in Game 4? Was there a thought process behind there where the Colorado Avalanche were so dominant in that game that you just can't bet the Lightning when they go back to Colorado for Game number 5? No. It was an overtime game. And quite frankly, you had the lead for a large part of this game for the Lightning. So if you look forward and say, I'm looking to try to hedge some bets here, maybe you take Tampa Bay a little slice of that 9-1, because if they win game number 5, you're going to have some money in your pocket for game 6 and moving forward. Stay right here on the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. Make the move over to Major League Baseball. Let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in Major League Baseball. There were two specific performances that caught my eye, and they pertain to one market. We'll talk about the individual performances off of the bat. Shohei Ohtani yesterday, DRS, completed the double up. A two-day window where he was just phenomenal. 2 home runs, 8 total RBIs against the Kansas City Royals on Tuesday. He followed that up with 8 innings of 2-hit scoreless baseball on Wednesday night, 13 strikeouts to 1 walk. Each performance, in their own individual perspective, are phenomenal. But to do them back-to-back is why, no matter what, he will remain thick in an AL MVP race.
And he should remain thick in an AL MVP race. And also coming off a night, too. Aaron Judge, 0 for 5 at the plate, 3 strikeouts. No. Aaron Judge went yard twice last night in a comeback victory for the Yankees, the best team in baseball, which we'll get to that in just a few moments. But that shows you just the competence of the two guys fighting right now. And, oh, yeah, that's slouch Mike Trout plus 850. Don't worry about him. He's not going to do anything for the rest of the summer. Let's just focus on these two guys, right? Shohei Ohtani. The reason why he actually is the best player in baseball, because he's doing something that nobody can do and we haven't seen for basically 100 years in baseball. What, dating back to like Babe Ruth back with Boston, and, you know, he's pitching and he's hitting at the same time. This is wild stuff, because now it's 3 straight games for Shohei Ohtani where he's been dominant on the mound. We're just waking up, or hopefully he wakes up at the plate. But I've said this all along. If he's average at the plate, which it looks like he's on pace, Kevin, to hit well into the 30s for home runs, and let's just say if his batting average doesn't even approach 300 and stays at like 270, but is dominant with his ERA now is listed at a 2.91. He is the MVP in baseball. But sometimes when you win it the year before and do something so special that people expect even better, I don't know, Cy Young. Like, he needs to be now, Kevin, Cy Young on the bump, and also at the plate have a chance to win the Triple Crown. That's the only way it feels like Shohei Ohtani can win an MVP. But if you're telling me right now, just project his statistics over a full year, he's by far the best player in baseball. But it doesn't mean, Kevin, he's going to win the MVP.
So here is the thing with Ohtani. I agree in some aspects, I disagree in others. What Ohtani can do makes him the most valuable player in baseball. And what he's now been able to do in the last couple of performances flash signs of that. But he has not been the most valuable player in baseball. See, I love how these things can somewhat line up, right? So, Don, if I told you right now Shohei Ohtani in WAR was eighth, right, in the American League, I'm sure the initial reaction would be, miss me with that WAR. It can't put into perspective what Ohtani does. Ohtani last year led the American League in WAR by a big gap. He had a 9 compared to Marcus Semien's 7.3. 1.7 over the course of a year is a monster gap. And the reason that Ohtani's gap was so big, because he was doing it on both sides of the coin. But Ohtani the hitter has not been anywhere near close to Ohtani the hitter last year. So, no, the bar I don't think for Ohtani is to be the best hitter in baseball and the best hitter in, and the best pitcher in baseball. But he has to be better consistently from the plate. Showed flashes, obviously, though, in maybe the last couple of games. But it's not just Ohtani who's going to make a push. Yordan Alvarez. I love what Yordan Alvarez does, because I know there are Yankee fans out there who think that the Aaron Judge season is related to not paying him, which is ridiculous. The Astros paid Yordan Alvarez, and it's as if maybe he was somehow insulted what he signed for and will need an extension again by season's end. He right now leads Major League Baseball in OPS, a .315 batting average, 21 home runs, and 51 RBIs. In the month of June, Donnie, all he's doing is batting .443 with 7 homers and 23 RBIs. Now, the problem for Yordan, right, is he kind of providing anything outside of the bat, because we know that WAR, what you can do defensively or other areas of the game matters. But Yordan Alvarez, 1,000%, 11-1 price to win the AL MVP, has a case to be made as the best hitter in Major League Baseball.
He does have a case to be made. If you take a look at his MVP odds here, as you said, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's listed at 11-1. Now, is there still some bite back on the Houston Astros where you can't give them any MVP like credence because of their cheating scandal that they had? So he probably would have to hit like 70 home runs. And if he hits 70 home runs, what are we going to say? Man, they're probably banging trash cans and have Apple Watches or some newfangled way to cheat here. There's no way he legitimately would hit 70 home runs. But he's been sensational. And quite frankly, so have the Houston Astros here, 43-25 on the season. And it seems like they're MO, right? The lineup looks good every single night. Is it like, are they guaranteed? Do they have to stay 8 runs or less every single game but continue to win games easily? It's fascinating to watch and see a play out. We're getting great pitching out of a starting lineup here. I should say a starting 5 that we were used to seeing in the past. You know, still have the Verlanders on your team, but no more Garrett Cole. Lance McCullers still hasn't made a return yet. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of top shelf rotational guys where it looks like the Houston Astros are just a solid organization. A team that can lose Carlos. How could you do that, Kevin? How could you lose Carlos Correa? Well, look, guys like Yordan Alvarez stepping up at the plate here and possibly dropping 50 home runs in a season, that's how you make up for losing guys like Carlos Correa.
And the thing is they've had the Aaron Judge regular season home run leader market out there for a while. He's right now minus 125. He's had moments where he's been higher. But Yordan Alvarez and Mike Trout have kept that number in check, because the guy who's tied right now for second in home runs is Mike Trout, because Mike Trout is one of the premier power hitters in baseball. Because, of course, Mike Trout's one of the premier power hitters in Major League Baseball. And by the way, if you're wondering who does lead the American League in WAR, it's Mike Trout. Jose Ramirez, by the way, who has the second most RBIs in baseball with 62, is going to be in this conversation as well. But you also alluded to something that happened yesterday. For the sixth time this season, Aaron Judge offered up a multi-home run game. And they needed him yesterday. 27 on the season. He's a .300 hitter. He's got 52 RBIs. And also, Donnie, this is the difference, I think, right now probably between maybe him and a Yordan Alvarez. Aaron Judge is one of the better center fielders in Major League Baseball. The story to me today is this is going to be a phenomenal race that includes 5 unbelievable players. But Aaron Judge, to me, still is rightfully, clearly, your favorite as we sit here today.
Yep, sitting there in the Big Apple doing damage on the best team in baseball. As long as he continues on this trajectory, it's going to be hard to keep it away. Because if you say in a contract year where the Yankees were fighting over, let's just say they probably could have bridged the gap by like $10 million, Now you're going to say, I'm going to be an MVP. I'm going to drop 55-plus home runs here, see what I can get paid. But you're right. As long as the Yankees continue to play like they are playing, and also the best player on the best team, and this isn't just Kevin, like, oh, he's the best player. He's having a good year, right? 301, 14 home runs, you know, okay, and he's going to be in that mix. But he's the best player by far on the best team and doing damage every night, because how do you build your lead or try to stave off guys like Shohei Ohtani, who have the ability to go out and throw a 13-strikeout shutout game and also the ability on the following night to have 8 RBI at the plate? It's playing good baseball by yourself every single night and playing it well on the best team. Because if you're looking at a Yankees team, how are you going to keep the MVP away from? The Yankees win 112 games this year, and he's the catalyst? That sounds like an MVP to me.
And the thing is, we know that it's not always record that is the determining factor in the way that it feels like it is for other sports, right? Rodgers, the fact that basically the Packers were the best team in football all year long was a big reason he was able to double it up and run it back. Part of the reason people couldn't stand the Nikola Jokic win this year is that they were the sixth seed ultimately when they were able to win it. But I do think for the Angels, kind of the chickens are going to come home to roost, is that they're not going to now rip off what would be their fifth MVP, three for Trout and one for Shohei, since 2014, while largely for a big chunk of that run being bad. 2014, they were awesome. They won 98 games. But outside of that, this team's been over 500 just once. A lot to see. MLB Preview is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On this Thursday morning, we've got some Major League Baseball preview in our upcoming segment. We're going to bring Coach James Young in, get you set for the NBA draft tonight. Big show here tonight on Sports Grid, 8 p.m. Eastern start time on the NBA, on the Sports Grid Network, covering everything that's going to be going on. It's myself, James Young, and Ben Stevens as well. Really, really excited to be back in the saddle for that. We had a lot of fun with it last year. What should be the more of the same again today. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern start time. So a lot of good stuff coming up. But let's get to the baseball board. It kind of works nicely here. Like, I don't know if this is, you know, Donnie, sometimes we see the sports world kind of intertwine and connect. I think this is just kind of circumstance here. But I like that we've got day baseball to sink our teeth into as we get closer, then, of course, to the, you know, to the NBA draft tonight. It works nicely. They're in unison there.
Yeah, it does work nicely. I mean, excited here. NBA draft tonight. I mean, you could have thrown a couple more baseball games over there to click back and forth here. Now, also, my question to you before we hit the Major League Baseball card, Woj bombs tonight. I know you're going to be on the air, so you won't be watching too long. Are we going to have one of those where 15 minutes in advance of every pick, those picks will be released?
Whoa.
Is that what we're going to have? Or are you going to Woj bomb with your insider information tonight, K-Dub?
A lot of people don't give me credit for breaking the Eagles' schedule.
That's true.
That I ultimately did deserve. But I always find that very funny that they put the ban on him, so he tweets out basically using a thesaurus of words that lets you know who's getting drafted where. It's a very odd piece of business that you're basically detracting from your own product, which is the draft show. It is, I get. And a part of me says if we're doing it through the odd spectrum, you should be kind of first to it. But then it's also the odds are usually off of the board at that point. So you never know how ultimately line. I'll tell you this, though. You'll love this. Last year during the NBA draft, because obviously the NBA season was thrown off, Trey Turner and Max Scherzer were traded during the NBA draft show. I don't think we're going to get a baseball deal of that size today, though, Donnie. I don't.
Yeah. Now, did it hijack the show or just blow it off last year? What did you do with that?
Completely blew it off. Couldn't care less.
Oh, disgraceful.
All the Dodgers were going to do was underachieve anyway, and that's exactly what
I mean, Gabe didn't break into the telecast. You should have brought Gabe right on there during the NBA telecast. Start talking some Dodger baseball.
He was concerned about the Toronto Raptors taking Scotty Barnes. Giants, true. Braves early on the slate here. Kyle Wright, Alex Wood, -150 spot for the Atlanta Braves, who now keep beating the Giants close, which obviously, you know, is huge. And we talk not only, you know, about division races, but the NL wild card race. The Braves are 40-30. The Giants are 38 and 30. Can the Giants take one back here today, or maybe the total is where your attention is?
Yeah, the total's where my attention is because it should play to an under. But having said that, yesterday, you know, tough scene for me, I should say. The San Francisco Giants over a team total over 3.5. They ended up with 3 runs, but that top of the 9th inning, 1st and 3rd, 1 out, just give me the productive out. Couldn't get that. And then also looks like I was going to get a nice little, you know, second chance at life where the Atlanta Braves scored a few runs in the bottom of the 9th inning, but did get a clutch hit with 2 outs to win 4-3, where you had the extra innings. It was a really good shot with the ghost runner on second base. Was going to pick up a victory, but that didn't happen. So fast forward again today, same type of weather conditions. Remember how excited I got about this game yesterday? Now hold on. 95 degree temperatures down in Atlanta with the wind blowing out. Well, how about this? A noontime start, 92 degrees with a 10-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to dead center field. But I got to tell you, there's two really good pitchers that are going to be on the mound today. If we take a look at some of the totals that, you know, we like to look at, let me just drop this down. We'll get that 20 innings on the 2022 season. If we're looking at Kyle Wright, he's been very good, Kevin. Take a look at him, a 79 XFIP minus number, an ERA under 3. And how about this? An XFIP of 3.14. So if we're anticipating the ball staying in the yard today, even though these windy conditions and heated conditions, there's some really good bats in the lineup tonight, particularly for both sides. But I want to focus on the Atlanta Braves here, Kevin, going against Alex Wood, who is a lefty here, and he's done very well between lefty and righty batters. But take a look at this. First 4 guys in the lineup today anticipated for those Atlanta Braves: Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Riley, and Darno. If we look at all 4 of those guys, weighted on base percentage, 447, 396, 409, and 400. It's one of those games, Kevin, where I want to take the under. And if we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook posting that at a 9, it should stay under with these pitchers. But every time you see some of these, you know, environments where you're getting above 90 degrees and the wind blowing out, anything can really happen here.
The intrigue there, of course, though, is, you know, those last outings. Kyle Wright, who's been, as you mentioned, good for most of the year, was not great in that game. 6 innings, 11 hits, 5 earned when you talk about lining up against the Chicago Cubs. Alex Wood against the Pirates, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 earned runs. Only, you know, was able to nab 4 strikeouts in that game. So the recent performances were not great for those guys with the weather there. And maybe I'm just trying to find a way to think about an over for some early, early baseball. We keep on moving here. Guardians Twins had a great, great game yesterday. And this is huge when you talk about that AL Central race. As much as I know the White Sox are the team that we all expected to dominate, the Guardians are now in first place. And it's the Minnesota Twins who are in second place. These are huge games taking place between these teams here. Minnesota's your favorite, above minus 140, total flipping between 10 or 9.5. What are you doing with Minnesota and Cleveland?
Yeah, how about that? A 10 spot here as we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook on an over, and we just talk about weather conditions. Typically in Minnesota, right? Ooh, what's as hot as it gets in the summer? I don't know, 80 degrees possibly? How about this? 88 degrees at first pitch. Light wind blowing from right foul pole to left foul pole here, so that shouldn't have too much of an impact, but nice heated up temperatures. And if we look at the worst pitcher, Kevin, on the card today for me, it's Smeltzer there for the Minnesota Twins. If we take a look at his season here, how about his K rate? His K rate is 12. That's an impossible. Like, you saw position players come in and get strikeouts. Smeltzer is at a 12% strikeout rate. So what does that immediately tell you here? The ball is in play in 88-degree temperatures. It can never be a good thing. If we take a look at his XFIP minus number, it's a 127. Terrible. But how about this? His ERA is actually a 3.52. But if you look at the advanced analytic metrics here that I like to use, being XFIP and also Sierra numbers, he's at a 5.04 XFIP and a 5.19 as a Sierra. So he's due to get tattooed, and that just might be tonight. So if you take a look at Plesac on the mound, not a very good pitcher in his own right also, Kevin, a 114 XFIP minus. He does have an ERA of 4.41, but also a Sierra number of 4.59. Seems like a high number today, but I got to tell you, with the hot weather and those pitchers on the mound, I do think we might be headed for an over-the-total game, even though it's listed at 10.
I got to tell you, Smeltzer's one of those guys, you know, as I do the strikeout props, you'll occasionally see him with those 2.5s.
That's why.
When I see a 2.5, there's almost, I mean, I do, it takes everything in my power to not be on the over. You want to, what feels like a stress-free environment. You get one strikeout in the first 2 innings, you're like, all right, here we go, we're in business. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things. Now, it would be like you check onto a slate and you got a team total at 2.5 runs. Yes. It doesn't matter who the team is, right? Like normal -110 juice, any team in baseball 2.5, you're starting to double check numbers. All right, how about the last 8 days? Like you're doing anything you can to find a way to get on that, I bet.
No, exactly. It's one of those where you're just saying to yourself, all right, get a leadoff walk and a double in the gap in the first inning. You got one run across the board. You start popping champagne bottles, figuring that you're eventually going to get to those three runs. But we all know that typically how it's supposed to work out is, oh, hold on. Wait, we got a base runner through the sixth inning now. Oh, my goodness. We can't get to three runs. That's usually the way it plays out. But I know how you feel where you get that early strikeout, and then all of a sudden it's a hit parade, and you're worried about, ooh, can he stay in long enough? But hold on, he's just giving up 5 runs. Then they see the screenshot of the manager in the dugout. Like, is he stirring around? Is he coming out? Does it look like he's coming out here? Oh, yeah. We got those sweats all the time.
No doubt about it. How about the night game, though? It's a big one. Yanks-Astros. Houston's coming to town here. In the Bronx, we'll see if they can do any cheating because obviously that is what they will always be known for. Tyone's the favorite at -130 range there, which for a Yankees home game feels a little light, to be honest with you. Valdez has the ball for Houston, a forever rivalry here, at least certainly with the main, you know, key characters still around. What are you seeing here between the Yanks and the Astros?
Yeah, Houston probably doesn't think it's much of a rivalry because they just pound the Yankees fair and square typically all the time is how it feels. So let's take a look at the setup for this game. And if we're looking overall, what are you looking at tonight? It's in the Bronx. So, hey, we just went over to some games, Kevin. 88 degrees, 92 degrees. Hot in the Bronx tonight? Not necessarily. Take a look at this. 72 degrees at first pitch here. By the time that game settles in, maybe mid-60s, light wind blowing in from center field. And the one thing that we do know is true, if you want to get into a pitcher's duel and you want to get into a low-scoring game, Houston and the New York Yankees are more than happy to play that style of baseball, and I think you might get into it. Yesterday with the Yankees, I'm sitting there going, I'm going to take the Yanks -140, and after a few innings, I'm like, I don't understand the Rays. Guys I've never heard of once again are homering left and right, but the Yankees came back and won that baseball game and I believe did go over the total. But today in this game, I'm looking under here. We're taking a look from a Valdez perspective, decent xFIP on the season, but he's been great. The ISO power numbers for a pitcher is so important when you go up against the Yankees because we know that they can tattoo the baseball. Look at the top six guys in the lineup today, ISO power numbers, Kevin, in 2022 versus right-handed pitchers, 171, 263, 280, 183, 209, 418. It's sensational. But take a look here for Valdez on the season, a left-handed pitcher. Look at his ISO power numbers to lefties who he's faced 49 of them this year. 024. Sensational. How about right-handed batters? Typically a lefty would get touched up by them. How about if I told you it was an 086? Keeping the ball in the yard is key tonight. I don't necessarily have a great feel on who's going to win this game, even though I do lean towards the Yankees being at home. But maybe an under is the right play in the Bronx tonight.
Well, we've talked about those Astros unders, and it really elevates on the road. 26-11 to the under on the road. Man, lower scoring games away from Houston.
Yeah.
I wonder why that would be. Probably just the coincidence, right? No way they're still cheating. Right, Bob? Coming right back, Jay Wise in the mix here. We're talking the NBA draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA draft is today. Kevin Wallace joined by Donnie Wrightside. This is the early line. And with only a little bit of time left here in our show today, we want to bring in the man himself, Coach James Young, to help us break it all down. JY, how you feeling? It's draft.
Of course, you know, I have all this, you know, 5:46 in the morning, crack of dawn, and wet the coal from my eye. See, Donnie Wrightside's got a notification of draft movement. Yeah. You and I, Kaden, were talking until about midnight last night, so what in the world is happening with this draft?
Madness. I mean, it's complete and utter madness. Now, Donnie, do you want to kind of take a host role? Yeah. I mean, ask, you know, a couple of guys that actually know basketball, like JY and I, questions here. A little out of your depth here, don't you think?
No, I think what Coach just came on and explained, the true NBA guy on this network that always has his ear to the ground waiting for information and odds to change is Donnie Wrightside, and that's why I get paid the big dollars.
This guy,
I tell you,
man.
What, I tell you what I'll do. I'll give people a little – on the radio today, we're going to see how many teams down the list Donnie can go in the NBA draft order. If you get to five, I'd be stunned. If you were able to get one, two, which teams are drafting, I'd be stunned.
Hold on. I got a quick one for you. If you noticed during the show, I was going over picks 1, 2, 3. When I got to 4, I said the team drafting at 4 because I honestly didn't know for a second who the team at number 4 was where they were supposed to be drafting. So I can mix play with words where you would never notice, but I always call myself out, even if it hurts my appearance here on the show.
That transparency, right, that a lot of people like to preach. Yeah. We get that I'm gonna leave that be. Hold on a minute. As teams finalize, the NBA draft is increasingly firm per sources. Jabari to Orlando, Chet Holmgren to OKC, and Paolo Banchero to Houston. I'm telling you right now, JY, you can react. I'm telling you this right now. We're gonna get our wish. Woj just basically said Jabari 1, Chet 2, Paolo 3. Live right here on the show, JY, what is your reaction to Woj basically just spoiling the first 3 picks this far out? I'm logging in right now. I got to get down.
FanDuel, Jabari Smith.
Yeah, basically. Is everybody here? Hold on. Let's get to the odds, right? Because everybody's about to just start clicking away and all that.
Yes.
That. Paolo Banchero, -210 to go number 1. Jabari, +115 to go 2. Chet Holmgren, -155 to go number 2. Jabari is the second choice there at -115. Chet Holmgren, +125 to go 3.
I'm in.
Jabari's +145. And the biggest number right now is +210, Paolo Banchero. Again, according to Adrian Wojnarowski there, basically, what's the trap door? The trap door, Donnie, is that he has the teams right, but the order wrong, and we get that Houston-Orlando swap that we've been talking about. So I would actually say Chet number 2 is by far your safest bet on the board, -155 price, but that to me is the safest bet on the board right now, Donnie, as we look through all of this here.
Yeah, this is very interesting, too, and I love the fact that it plays out live. We have, you know, Coach on the talk with us as well about this because you're talking about one of the ultimate insiders in sport. This isn't a straw poll that says sources think. This is Wojnarowski coming on and basically saying you, and he's using the words increasingly firm. Yep. That doesn't mean, like, thoughts out here from a few guys where it might happen. This actually says, I just got a hold of these 3 organizations. Here's the way it's looking that these guys are going to draft tonight. And I'm interested to see if those lines do change because I just logged in and took a little piece of Jabari Smith here at the +115 price because that's not one of those things where we're flipping a coin right here. This sounds to me, Coach, like I'm looking at this by saying Jabari Smith is going to be number 1 to Orlando. I just spoke with the general manager.
Right, and that's what it sounds like. In anything, like, you know, K-Dub is talking about, maybe there is a trade. I wonder what's going on. And to me, I think this is a bluff that, in my opinion, that could be called by Orlando. Because everybody knows that Houston wants Banchero at 3, Chet's going 2. So maybe they're going to Houston saying, you want Banchero? We may take Banchero. So now if you want to get Banchero, you got to go to number 1 and get him. But now it's coming back the other way. So you question what's going on. Maybe there is a trade. But to me, I still don't like it. I'm going to say this. I still don't like Jabari Smith with Wagner in Orlando. I've never liked it. Kevin and I have been on Chet Holmgren for weeks since the draft lottery that this should be the play. I don't know what Orlando's thinking. But if you ask me this one, I'll throw this curveball. If you're not taking Chet, if you ask him who's a better fit for Wagner, Jabari, or Banchero, I'm going to say it's Banchero.
Interesting. I that's my only thing. I think here's what I'm saying, though, right now. Because this is fun. Like, we're going to bring JY on and talk about prospects, but this news comes down. There's no reason for that. When you look at that, do you say to yourselves, because he goes Jabari to Orlando, Chet to OKC, Paolo to Houston. Is there a world where, again, it's the Houston-Orlando trade exists and basically something like, and that might be kind of the direct where that gets messed up there. The odds did just close locked on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah. So if you got in, you got here in at the appropriate time. But I really believe, again, I think your safest bet if you got in there, even if it was more expensive to me there, Donnie, was Chet minus 155, number two. When that reopens, if it does reopen, I think Chet is above minus 500 to be the second overall pick, if not higher, honestly, Donnie.
This will be fascinating to see when they reopen these or how long it takes to reopen those, because they are locked right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is intriguing stuff. And I love the fact that it's like the information never sleeps, as we like to say, because this could be one. Hey, hold on till noon, Adrian, to put this out. No, we got this fired up here at 9:15 a.m. So this is why we're going over it right away. But also the tweet that he put out reads a little bit different, too, because it says it'll finalize 1, 2, and 3 in the NBA draft. But the fact of the matter is it says 1, 2, 3, but then also says to Orlando, to Oklahoma City, and Bancaro. The tweet would have been quite maybe vague. It would have been tough to read if it said, like, okay, 1, 2, and 3 in the draft are going to be Smith, Holmgren, and Bancaro. Mm-hmm. You just didn't know which teams were actually taking those. But this reads pretty cut and dry. And again, like we talk about even earlier in the week, you follow the steam of where it's going to wind up, and it looked like it was always going to be Jabari Smith. You wake up this morning, now it looks like it's Bancaro. I want to see where this resets the odds and how that moves through the day. But I would be hard-pressed to think at the end of the day that Woj is just putting out a smokescreen and holding water for some of these franchises. I would be shocked, Coach, if it doesn't turn out to be 1, 2, and 3 now in this order, because this is Woj tweeting this out, not some random account NBA guy. Here's what I heard.
No, the Woj is as dialed in. Him and Shams are as dialed in, and K-Dub knows it's like an arms race between these two to who gets the story out first. So if Shams or Woj tweet something, it's factual, basically. So, you know, listen, this is why even in a day like today with the draft, it's important, people, to be listening to what's going on this network, because we have one eye on the screen and one eye on our computer, and we're literally, you know, trying to figure out movement. So I think this sets up, and Kevin and I were talking about last night, this is going to be pure madness tonight, because we haven't even got the four with Jaden Ivey, and that's going to be crazy, because I still think Sacramento is going to mess this up and make a trade.
I got it. Maybe we'll save it for radio. I mean, when do we start talking about the fact that this guy, 12 hours out, just basically told, hey, you don't have to actually watch my company's show, because like I mean, what a crazy thing. So now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the entire NBA draft market's off the board. Which is understandable, right? Which is because, again, to JY's point, okay? If basically the power rankings of reporters that move news is Woj, bit of a gap, Shams, big gap. Basically, then your Steins, your Haineses of the world, and then everybody else kind of follow. But when Woj tweets, Woj doesn't miss. You get the point there? When Woj tweets something, it's confirmed. So basically, the only reason I'm even offering up any questions is, hey, is that Paolo Jabari trade going to happen? And Woj can basically go, I didn't get anything wrong, which is why I keep kind of circling back to the Chet point there. So, but now I'm almost burying the lead here. What in the world happened that got Paolo to minus 210? Can anybody possibly in the world figure out what got Paolo? Like, because we're kind of just running a three-man weave here, so it's fine. So, Donnie, you'll throw it back to JY.
Yeah.
Donnie.
Yep, sure.
What in the world got Paolo Bancaro to minus 210?
In the middle of the night. But this wasn't something that was like slip screening. Like, I was expected to wake up today and honestly, you know, see the number one overall pick, Jabari Smith, go from minus 200 to minus 600 or 700, because it would have been confirmed. Waking up and seeing the shock of Bancaro, which meant, again, somebody had to reach out or get the information late at night that said, we made our decision, we worked on it all week long, and finally, on the eve of the NBA draft, Kevin, we were going to get our answer, and it was going to be said player, which we thought would be Jabari Smith. But how could the information, Coach, be so wrong in the middle of the night to shift odds that drastically in one guy's direction? It's going to be fascinating to see what the odds are posted up. But what would give that? It would have had somebody in the Orlando front office leaked out information information that Bankera was actually their guy, and they ran with it because usually the books and stuff, they're not going to move on air. There had to be bets coming in at this time, odds moving, and also information flowing to now completely roll reverse back at 8:50. What would have changed, Coach? 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. For me, somebody had some loose lips in New Orlando, and maybe they're trying to run it back. I would love if we had yet another turn come around midday here, like, oh, got this wrong. It looks like it was always going to be Bankero, Coach. It's wild to see a six-hour swing this much to now have the FanDuel Sportsbook not even posting odds on the draft right now.
But Donnie, it's more than a six-hour swing. This has been going on for 3 days with Bankera. What was he, plus 1,400 two, 3 days ago? You don't see movement. I'm still pretty new to the game with this. You don't see movement like that quickly and that sharp. But we all went to bed saying one thing. We wake up the next morning, something's completely different. There's loose lips. I don't think Orlando knew what they were doing, honestly. And I think you're right. Someone slipped and said something. And then everybody went to the books overnight, probably in the West Coast, throwing a ton of money down. We wake up in the East Coast. The lines flip. Woj wakes up and goes, wait a minute. What's happening here? Do, couple of phone calls, couple of text messages, and all of a sudden, fans are like, hold on a second. We may have this wrong. We may be losing money because people are going to jump on Jabari. Let's take this down and reset the whole board.
The thing is, right, and I'd love to get a full honest answer. Maybe we never will. What a coup potentially for the sports book on every single Paolo bet. You know how many Paolo Bancaro bets, or at least the amount of money that had to flip him to minus 210? Jabari was minus 600. It wasn't like they were pick. It wasn't like he was minus 140 anymore. He went to minus 600 last night. Like, because I woke up this morning, so, you know, you could check, sir. It was 1 in the morning, East Coast time, when people were figuring it out. It's as if a betting syndicate was sat there saying, all right, when everybody goes to sleep, we bet Paolo. And then they did, and then what? And we know that there can be, right, probably more vulnerable market manipulation as it pertains to an NBA draft. So did they do all of this so they could come back on Jabari? Well, what, did they forget to come back on Jabari and Woj beat him to it? Do you know what I'm saying here? So you are dealing with just one of the, truly, I think now, forget hyperbole, one of the all-time craziest betting markets in the history of sports was this year's number one overall pick, and we might have watched it die live here on the show. It may never come back. What fantastic stuff. You'll see me, JY, and Ben tonight live on the draft show. Donnie and I will be on radio, and Donnie's going to close it out next on Listen Up. How about it?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day here for the early line right on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. And what a morning it was. You know, Coach just joined us here during the last segment. We had a nice complete rundown and breakdown, and yet a Woj bomb hit, which basically told us who we think is going to be number 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. So exciting stuff. If you're not tuned in to the Sports Grid Network at all times, you might be missing out on these great nuggets of information. But having said that, we're going to get to another market right now. And you saw last night the greatness that is Shohei Ohtani and why maybe he should be the MVP once again. Listen up. Shohei Ohtani's been outright spectacular with the Major League Baseball, quite frankly, since he's come over. And if you take a look here and you try to measure a guy's greatness, and what? MVPs? Yeah, we got that. Dominance on the mound? Sure, we've seen that a lot with pitchers, but also dominance at the plate and combining it into one player? My goodness, Shohei Ohtani is the guy for you. And let's also remember, as you take a look at his contract, let's say a guy dominating with a 2.91 ERA on the mound, not having the best hitting year compared to last year for Shohei Ohtani, but still projecting to be in the 30s with home runs. And let's just see if he hits 270 or higher and still a dominant pitcher. Do you know his contract is 2 years for $8.5 million combined that ends this year and goes to arbitration? What is a player of Shohei Ohtani's caliber worth on the open market? My goodness here, he is going to break the bank. But let's enjoy this while we watch. Aaron Judge is having a sensational year for the New York Yankees, and the Yankees themselves having an equally tremendous year. He'll get paid in the offseason, and maybe he is the MVP. But I do think sometimes when we see greatness, we shortchange it on what we saw the season before. Oh, he can't live up to that, and we already gave him the MVP. Are you kidding me? A pitcher that can have a sub-3 ERA and also rake at the plate? This is outrageously awesome stuff taking place in Major League Baseball. It's going to be a run down to the wire between Judge and Ohtani, and rightfully so. Two great baseball players at the height of their games going head-to-head. It's just a shame that the Angels might not be able to get into the playoffs. It's the extended baseball for Ohtani. Crazy stuff.